I'd like to welcome everyone to today's Member Solutions teleseminar. Today our special guest is Advisory Board Member Steve Doyen. He's the creator of the Thai Kickboxing Program, the host of the Mastery Seminar Weekends. He's got over 800 students in a 9,700-square-foot location in Danbury, Connecticut, and he teaches all of his intros himself. I think he's got a big S on his chest. I don't think it stands for Steve. I think it might stand for Superman, but welcome.
Thank you. No, I'm just doing what we all do, you know. We're all hardworking entrepreneurs, so I'm no different than any of the guys on the phone, for sure. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much for having me, and hopefully I'll be able to share some of the strategies that we've used to grow our school and stimulate some ideas and, you know, hopefully learn something myself. And, you know, we're all students here, so go ahead, Kathy. What can I do? What can I say?
Well, I tell you, the other day you gave me so many different things that you've been doing for internal marketing in your school, and I grabbed some notes. I wanted to ask you some specific questions about some of those, and then, of course, you know, I know you're going to give us tons of information. First was, I know that Halloween's over, but you had let me know that you had a very interesting pumpkin painting party, and you had like 66 kids attend. They brought friends. So I'm wondering, how many friends attended, and out of them, about how many do you think enrolled so far?
Okay, well, let me just give you a little background on that. You know, we've done Halloween parties years ago, for many years, like many school owners do. And honestly, the school kind of got a little bit wrecked, and I got a little bit dismayed with the concept of using the school as a party center, and, you know, and I think some of the discipline and respect that was taught in the school was lost. So we wanted something a little bit more subdued and controlled. So we thought, you know, something creative, you know, a little out of the box was our pumpkin painting party. And it just allowed us to control things a little bit more. It wasn't as loose with kids running around in costumes and jumping and, you know, us being like policemen. So we did have 66 children attend. We could have easily had more, but, you know, even 66 was difficult to manage all at once, trying to keep everybody busy and safe. So we certainly could have had many more. We actually had to turn some kids away or shut down the promotion about a week early so that we wouldn't get people interested in coming and not have space for them. As far as the mix of students to guests, I'm going to say we were probably maybe 50% were our students and 50% were guests, some brothers and sisters, you know, some siblings that had become of age, and then some children, you know, that were perhaps neighborhood friends or school friends that we met for the first time. I don't have actual statistics and on who joined and who didn't join. I've never really looked at events like that. Yes, obviously we want to bring in new students and faces, but I think of it more of a retention tool, you know, something that's cool that's going on in their karate school that gives them a reason to stay connected, to bond with the teachers more on a more personal level, and then obviously to meet new students as well. But we don't hard sell. We don't do anything other than show them a really great time, make sure we get their name, address, and telephone numbers, and follow up with you know, postcards and opportunities to come back for more, but no actual statistics. I always think of it as just another, how would you say it, like just another method to introduce ourselves, and that compiled with the right opportunity and perhaps follow-ups, you know, that student will come aboard. So, you know, maybe we had three or four kids become members of the student of the school from that event, but I'm looking forward to the 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 that will probably join as a result of, you know, of this down the road in a year or so when the opportunity presents itself. So, you know, it's not one of those events that we can say like a grand opening where, you know, 25 people signed up. It's just like you know, it's like cutting down a big oak tree. It's just one chop at a time, and it's just one of those chops that helps us get closer to our goal. So I hope that answers your question.
Sure, absolutely. And okay. I guess the next question that kind of comes from that is, you know, a lot of people are really great at throwing the events and doing the events, but one of the things you mentioned is, you know, that you've got their contact information, their phone numbers, so that you can send postcards and sell to them. Is there like any particular system that you have in place, like a series of, okay, now we send a direct mail postcard, now we call, 3 days later we do this, that you could share with us?
Okay, I am. I'm a little bit cautious about being too aggressive. So absolutely, we do get their name, address, telephone, without a doubt, and we do show them a really great time. At the end of the party, they all, you know, everybody had a wonderful time. We bring them all together, and we hand them all a guest pass to come back for a week of free lessons and explain that, you know, if you enjoyed your class, if you enjoyed the party today, I'm sure you'll, you know, enjoy our classes. So we give them a pass. And then on Monday after the party, we follow up with another postcard directly to their home because we assume that child may not have understood what we were saying or lost the card or it got misplaced. You know, even once it got home. So we'll do a follow-up postcard, and then they'll be in a, you know, I guess you can call it like a drip mail system for postcards over the course of, well, infinity. We'll never stop sending them postcards, but probably once a month they'll receive a postcard from us, just making them a similar offer. But no phone calls home, and I guess as a parent, I'm sensitive to those kind of things, meaning that, you know, if my daughter went to a laser tag birthday party or something like that and the place got overly aggressive, it's like, hey, she just went to a party. You know, it doesn't mean she wants to be, you know, on this laser tag team or make this a part of her lifestyle. So, I, you know, I appreciate that there should be a certain amount of sensitivity to over-promoting things and not over-promoting things. And, you know, also out of respect for your students, you don't want to make them leery about bringing friends because there's an onslaught of, you know, attempts to upsell the friends or coerce the friends into becoming, you know, students. And then, you know, it feels disingenuous. So absolutely be professional and collect the names and addresses. Absolutely make an offer on the day of the event and then certainly follow up offers done in a tasteful fashion. That's been my policy for 15 years and it works pretty well.
Okay. Super. Now, I know you said that, you know, the event was, you know, retention was the main goal, and of course enrollments, but it was a paid event too, wasn't it?
Yes, good question. We charged $20 for, it was on a Saturday night from 6 p.m. till 8:30. We had 2.5 hours for the event, and we made it so that it could be a parents' night out as well. So we figured parents might go see a movie, we gave enough time to see a movie or go get dinner. So we called a parents' night out and pumpkin painting party. It's $20 for any child that attended that is a member of our school. However, if they were bringing a non-member friend, it was only $10 each. So they save 50% on the price of the party, which covered our costs. So we ended up with a small profit, obviously, at the end of the event. But even if someone brought a guest, there was no out-of-pocket money for us. And that worked out well, you know. And everybody, there was no backlash or issues at all with paying for the event whatsoever. Everybody seemed very happy to pay for it. I think they thought it was a really good idea. It also included a pumpkin. So it was a pumpkin and, you know, and 2.5 hours of pretty well orchestrated events and crafts and things like that. So, yeah, but we did collect $20 for each student and $10 each if it were if a non-member came along.
Okay, great. Yeah, that sounds like it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
now, what do you do for holiday retail sales? Are you doing a big sale this year? And if so, when are you doing yours? And tell us everything.
Sure. We'll do a sale on December 14th. We started promoting it last week, and it'll be on a Sunday for 3 hours from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.? 2 p.m. And it happens right after our Thai class ends, so we'll already have probably 50 people training right off the bat, and then they'll go over there and shop. But we'll promote it for about a month, and it's a combination of a sale, but also, you know, another organized type of a party. We'll have our popcorn machine. We have one of those popcorn machines, you know, the old-fashioned popcorn machines. We'll have that there. We'll have snacks for the kids and coffee for the adults and donuts and bagels. And we'll have someone there doing face painting. We'll have crafts for the kids where they can make ornaments and door hangers and, you know, a lot of other Christmassy type crafts. and we'll decorate the school a little bit and have holiday music going. From time to time, you know, in the past years, we would have a visit from Santa Claus, and the kids would take a picture on his knee while the whole family was there. So it's a combination of a little bit of a party and a retail event. We've gotten very good at holding them. It probably takes us an hour to set it up, hour and a half to set it up. You know, then we have the three-hour event, and the staff will come in, and junior teachers and a couple seniors will come in and help us organize it. And then probably within an hour, hour and a half of it being over, the school is clean and ready to go. And we do anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000 for the retail on a normal year. So it's well worth the effort.
It sounds like it. And I guess what I'm wondering is, like, you know, if I'm a parent in your school and my kids are there with me, you know, do you guys do something with the kids to take them in a different area so they don't see what's going on, or
yes,
are they doing crafts
while
the parents are shopping?
Right. We're lucky. We have three rooms here, so they'll have the crafts and popcorn and face painting in a different room. So the parents can go ahead and, you know, drop the kids off on one side of the school, and then they can go shop on the other side. And it is on a Sunday, so if a parent is really concerned about their child, let's say they're buying a Wave Master, that's going to be kind of hard to get in the car without the child seeing it. So they'll come alone. You know, they'll just bring, they'll, you know, it's not a normal day for the children to be there anyway, so one of the parents will come alone. And we've also had them pay for things on that day and then pick it up later, you know, when the child isn't with them. So that works out, too.
Well, that's cool. And, like, how do you promote that big sale? Do you just make announcements? Is it in your newsletter? Or how do you ensure that, like, everybody knows that that's coming?
Okay, good. Good question. We have a weekly newsletter, so every single week there's a new production of our newsletter. And as I said, we start promoting about a month in advance. Starting last week, there was an announcement, and there's also a coupon in there to save $5 off a purchase of $25 or more. So not only are they getting it in the newsletter 4 weeks in a row, all of our classes, whether they're children or adult classes, end in a little mat chat and a huddle, and we make all of our announcements time. So they've already been promoting it in every single class for a week now, and that'll go on. So it's highly unlikely that anyone won't be aware of the party, and we'll explain there's going to be snacks and popcorn and, you know, and crafts to do. So the kids get excited about it. They'll absolutely make sure they don't miss it, without a doubt. So I think having the 3 or 4 weeks to promote it, to make sure that you've reached everyone, and then, of course, you know, not only it being in writing, but, you know, it being talked about at the end of every lesson, I think is really important, too.
Sure, absolutely. I guess another thing I was wondering is, do you do, like, a wish list promotion, or even for the adults, so that they can drop hints to the people that might buy them gifts?
You know, that's a good idea. We've never done that before. You know, and it's funny, because this year we ordered the Century Holiday Catalogs, and I guess there's still time. We haven't handed them out, but that's a great idea, and I know schools do it, and it works very well, so I might do it this year myself now that you've mentioned it to me.
See, and you can drop your own hints for your wife to get
right.
You what you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I guess one other question I want to ask about your retail sale is, are the main items that you seem to sell the most? Because everyone's kind of trying to always figure out, oh, gosh, what should I get? I don't want to overstock stuff. What's the most popular item for you?
Okay, good. On that subject, back when we first started doing this, we bought practically everything in that catalog, the Century catalog, and we did have a lot of items that didn't sell. You know, we would end up with the frames and jewelry and mugs and things that just people didn't seem to be that interested in for some reason. I thought they were great little stocking stuffers, so they didn't move well. What really moved well would be Stokes Targets, kicking shields for home practice, the Wave Masters. We always sell out on Wave Masters, both the kid size and the adult size, the double XLs, and then the kid kicks. So we've kind of narrowed it down to having all of your regular inventory out there, T-shirts and sparring gear and mouth guards. And, you know, people will get replacement gear, maybe more for themselves than as a gift for someone. But the focus targets and tie pads and the Wave Masters are really big sellers, you know, where you might upgrade. We even have a few parents upgrade their kids to Black Belt Club. I think probably last year we did four or five contracts on during the sale for people upgrading to Black Belt Club because it comes with a free uniform, so they would wrap that up, you know, and give that to their child and let them know that they enrolled them in Black Belt Club. But some of the bigger ticket items, like the Wavemasters, seem to sell very well. You know, we used to buy the Billy the Bullies and the other one, the Bob, the flesh-colored Bobs, and the price tag was just a little too high on those. So something around $80 to $150, $200 tends to do okay. And, you know, all the Targets and all fit well into that category.
I see. Got it. Yeah, I forgot about Bob.
Yeah.
Able to scare you at night when you go in by yourself and forget he's there.
Yeah, actually, we've got some funny stories about that, but we'll save that for another time.
Sounds good. Do you offer any type of layaway for your students, like on the bigger ticket items, to help them out, or
yeah, we have.
Or if they ask, would you?
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. Whatever makes it easier for them. You know, that's one of the benefits of having not only having a family-run school, but being involved in it. You know, as a student, you know, you can be flexible with someone. You can say, you know, you can make three payments on this, or something, you know, along those lines. And you can't go out into Walmart and do that. You know, so there's definitely that's a nice little advantage that they have in being a part of a family-owned business.
Okay, great. You know, I wanted to ask you, too, I know you do a New Year's Eve party. So mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do with that?
Sure. This year we're planning 2.5 hours from 6 p.m. to 8:30, and we're going to bring in a DJ, and you know, they have a laser. We've done this for my daughter's birthday once, and it was really great. So I have a DJ with music, and he has a little laser light set up, so the whole Gochujang actually turns into like a little disco, and we'll have our popcorn machine again and juice boxes, and we'll do some organized stuff like limbo and, you know, musical chairs, musical karate chairs kind of thing. It's a great opportunity, you know, as a parents' night out once again, where moms and dads can drop their kids off and go and do something and have a little bit of privacy, and the kids are involved in something really fun. So we'll organize, we'll have some organized events in that party, but also we'll have some free time for them to just listen to music and dance and, you know, get out some energy. And that's another paid event. You know, it would be $20 for a member, and then $10 if they should bring a guest. But as I said, we experimented a little bit with the music on our pumpkin painting party, and the kids went wild. And I had my daughter's birthday party here last year, and it was amazing how they kept themselves occupied with just the DJ. So we thought it would be a fun event for New Year's to again, you know, to help the children bond with the school and teachers, and just have another reason to maintain their membership here at our school above and beyond, you know, great classes.
Now, I'm sorry, did you tell us what times do you run your New Year's? Because I know some people run it till late at night, some people
yeah.
do overnights, and some people do it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we're going to do 6 to 8:30. My philosophy there is if, you know, first of all, with the age of the children, you know, you're going to have kids is probably as young as 6 years old there. So once it gets too late, they start to burn out, and that's not fun. We also want the parents to have an opportunity to go out and if they happen to be the type that like to go out and celebrate New Year's Eve, that they could actually have the child at our party, get them home in time for them to go out, because most New Year's stuff doesn't even begin until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So we're gonna run a little bit earlier so that we won't have issues with the children getting too exhausted, and then we won't have parents showing up that maybe have partied a little too hard, and we don't have to, you know, deal with that situation. So we think it's a good middle ground. If we were going to run it for teens, then we could certainly go till midnight. But we like this to be something that's open to all of our students. So we're going to do it a little bit earlier and hopefully be able to appeal to everyone.
I see. And that brings another question up, I guess, in my mind is, you know, do you have a certain student-to-teacher ratio at all of your events, including the New Year's? And do you ever have the teenagers help out, or are they only adults?
No, we definitely use the teenagers because, obviously, in terms of cost, you know, we can usually keep them there for a little bit less money than our senior teachers. But we would, on the pumpkin painting party, which, you know, is fresh in my mind. I'm going to say there was probably myself and three seniors, and then probably another two or three juniors. So probably six or seven instructors there to not only help with the setup, management, and then cleanup. So that's probably about 10 to 1, you know, somewhere in that range. And it seems that we're able to keep things safe and keep a handle on things and not overburden the ones that are there. I mean, could we run an event like that with, you know, four or five? Absolutely. But, boy, it's a lot of work. And then are they going to be interested in helping you with the next event if, you know, if it becomes too much of a burden? So everybody kind of shares the work, and it's a little easier.
Everyone stays sane that way.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said everybody stays sane that way.
Yeah. You want them to look forward to the event, not to, you know, end up calling in sick because they just want to avoid the melee. So we try to use our staff, but not abuse them.
Well, that's good. And I guess another question too is, you know, how important is it to get the parents' cell number and kind of know where they're going to be in case there's an emergency at any of these events?
Everybody signs in on the evening, the night of the event, and they would definitely leave their contact numbers without a doubt. That's very important. So everybody signs in regardless of whether they're a student or not. So we have all that information just in the event of any kind of emergency. So good point.
Yeah, it's nothing. I think I had one experience years ago when I was running my school that and I always got the parents' contact information, but someone who taught law at a law school, their kid had to break their collarbone in my school. So I was like,
oh no.
This is a call I hate to make. But they were, they were cool about it, and they were telling me, oh, no, I'm sure he's fine. I'm like, no, I don't think so. But, yeah, that always made me go. I'm so glad I knew where they were and had their cell phone numbers and called them quickly on that one, especially.
See, lesson learned. I'd rather learn from you than learn that firsthand. So I'll be extra careful now.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned to me the other day, too, that you have something called a Rocking Friends and Family Raffle. And I know a lot of people do raffles and drawings, but you always seem to have something extra you do. So can you tell us exactly what that is and how you run it?
Yeah, we're running our Friends and Family Raffle right now. We probably do it twice a year. We're very careful not to overdo things because it becomes, as I said before, a little disingenuous. But the Friends and Family Raffle is promoted for about a month, like many of our events are. It's in our newsletter. We'll discuss at the end of all of our classes. We have a fishbowl at the front desk and a raffle ticket printed in every newsletter. And it's an opportunity for students to register a close friend or a family member for the raffle, and we give away a free 6-month membership with no strings attached. We give away 2 3-month memberships, no strings attached, and about a dozen 1-month memberships. Everything is no strings attached. We want them to know that we're not going to abuse that relationship and attach a bunch of costs just extra expenses to it so that it's not a gift. That's gone very well. I mean, I can't remember the exact numbers, but because we've done this so frequently, but it's not unusual to do $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for the contracts from in the long run of a friends and family raffle. So we do register quite a few students from it. Most of the students that do come on board because of the raffle, it's something that they've wanted to take that step to try a class or to register for a trial, or it's been something that they've been interested in but just needed a little push, and the raffle tends to push them in our direction. They get to meet us on a more personal level, take a lesson, find out more about it, realize that it's something that's very affordable, and come on board. So we've done the Friends and Family Raffle for quite a long time. It's been very successful, and the students really support it. That we still have another 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks left in our raffle, and the fishbowl is jamming. You know, it's like full. So we know we're getting lots of support from our students, and it's been probably the least cost, most productive internal promotion we've ever done. And part of the success, it's twofold. Number one is not aggressively trying to upsell anybody and keeping it really pure and what it is. It's a giveaway. And the second factor, not doing them too often, because you can overdo it, and your students just begin to look at you a little differently. You know, they want to support the school, but they don't want to be hammered.
Right. Well, I can see how that could happen easily, you know, if we get a little mm-hmm. carried away.
Yeah.
Now, when you, can you give us an example of, like, an announcement you would make to your students to promote this type of an event? Because I think a lot of times, you know, school owners make announcements and maybe they're not giving all the information, or maybe it's just the way they're saying things that can either encourage or, you know, discourage participation. So can you kind of give us an example of what you say?
Sure. Now, at the end of every class, as I said, we do a little huddle, and I make it a point to hand out my newsletters at the end of every class, and I'll hold one and read it. Sometimes I read it verbatim, and other times I do improv. But I would simply say, you know, we have 2 weeks left in our friends and family raffle, and I might say something like this. I would put my hand up and say, how many people here have a friend? And, you know, they kind of giggle, and they all put their hands up, and I'll put my hand down, and I'll put my hand up again. I'll say, how many people here have a relative? And they kind of giggle and put their hands up. And I say, well, write someone's name down on the raffle ticket. You know, we're giving away a 6-month membership and some 3-month memberships and 1-month memberships. And there's no strings attached. You know, don't be concerned that we're going to try to upsell or hound these people or call them and try to sell them something. You're simply going to have an opportunity to do something nice for someone, you know, to help them win a free membership. And it's a win-win situation. So please just, you know, take a moment and fill this out and support the school and do something nice for somebody. That would be it.
Okay. And do you ever encourage them to tell the person that they entered them in the drawing so they're kind of ready if they win?
I've never mentioned it, but I would I'd have to think if that's a good idea. Bad idea sounds like a good idea. But
as long as they don't want you to fish out the entry.
Yeah, I never did that before, but that's fine. You know, I think that's it would be kind of cool if they knew that they're kind of in the running. It's a little bit more promotion, right? Make
sure.
Them say your name
sure.
in a positive way. So, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Okay. Yeah, I just wondered about that. And
mm-hmm.
do you give any type of incentives to your students that refer members in or that enter them in this raffle if they join, like as a full student?
You know, we haven't in the past. It's been our policy, typically, if someone does use our guest passes, we teach all of our students on day one how to use a guest pass. So when they do their enrollment with me, I typically give them guest passes for karate and kickboxing and tell them, I know you have a lot of friends, so, you know, please share this with one of your friends and they'll get a free private lesson, they'll get a week free, you'll get a t-shirt, they'll get a t-shirt. So in the past we've given out t-shirts, you know, then we do change it from time to time. I just had a student register that came in as a referral just the other day. And it's a longtime student that's probably got a dozen T-shirts and uniforms and all that stuff. So I had Linda send her some flowers as a thank you for referring a guest, referring a friend, excuse me. You know, we haven't done anything beyond a T-shirt or now, you know, we've done some, also done some gift cards. I've done some gift certificates for dinner at a local restaurant for people that have referred friends and became students. So I think the key is to be creative and be genuine. You know, if you really appreciate their referral and if you really, you know, if you think outside the box, like what it feels like to be on the other side, then do something that you would like done for you. So we're a little creative, and I think that certainly if we have some registrations, we'll be very sure to thank the person who referred them and let them know that we appreciate the effort. They're actually on the entry form. We don't have a slot for them to put their name, just the name of the person they referred. But if someone came to me and said, oh, you know, that person just signed up on a year from the raffle, that was my cousin or that was my friend from work, then I would certainly want to do something for them.
But no, I think that's really good because, you know, I mean, incentives can work, but I keep hearing the word genuine come out of your mouth, which is awesome because I think that a lot of people don't want to feel like salespeople for the schools.
Right.
They want to help out, but they don't want to feel obligated to help out. They want to do it on their terms. And when something's mm-hmm. done with no strings attached, they can take or leave it. It's
right.
genuine on both sides. So I think that sometimes it's best. Sometimes it works really well just to randomly reward people when they least expect it instead of make that the reason that they try to do it in the first place.
Yeah, my philosophy has always been, you know, very simple. If I go see a really great movie, they don't need to pay me to talk about it. You know, if I see a really great movie, when I get to school or I get home or when I'm talking to my friends, I'm going to say, you've got to see this movie. It is so good, and this is what I liked about it. You know, I don't know that it would help if I saw a bad movie, and then on the way out they said, by the way, if you tell a friend about our movie, we'll send you a $10 gift certificate. I hope it's not going to make me go out and tell people it's a good movie. So I guess I look at it from the student's point of view. If they're happy here and we're doing a good job and we give them a vehicle to promote our program, and they can genuinely say that they love it and they've benefited from it, and it's a place that they'd like their friends and family to come, then, you know, they're going to do it. Sometimes they just need to be reminded. And these different promotions I do are nothing more than a reminder that, you know, we just would appreciate your support in letting people know about our amazing school. So you have to be careful, obviously. And if you're going to be in a community for any length of time, you want to be really careful, because the last thing you want to do is push, and try to turn everybody into a salesperson. Then, you know, eventually they might leave, and someone asks them about the school, and it's like, oh, that place, it's all commercial, it's all about money, and they made me do this, you know, to get them a new student. You know, I've heard some really weird stuff that other organizations have tried to push on their clients to get them to turn everybody into a salesperson. It's pretty sad. You know, we begin thinking too much about the business and not enough about the relationships.
No, and that's a great point. And just, you know, one more thing I just wanted to add in about that is, even the people who come in on free trial memberships that decide not to do it, that maybe even just did it to appease their friends or whatever, they're going to go talk well about your school because they've had a good experience. Even if they don't want the training, chances are they'll refer other people or talk about the school for years to come. So
yeah, your reputation that way is so critical. Yeah, it's really critical that you do leave everybody on a good, positive note. And you know, I always say, you know, I really believe in what we do, and I always feel like if they say no, it's really not no. It's just not now. And you have to look at it that way. You know, you just realize that you have faith in your program. You know, run a really good school that provides a great service, and there's no reason for you not to eventually be training everybody in your community. It's just a matter of time, that's all.
I like that. It's not no, it's just not now.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Now, you were telling me that you've got a mailing list of 7,900 or so leads from the past, your past students. You know, are they past students, inquiries that didn't make it in? Where'd they come from?
Okay, those leads have all come from people that have attended events since we opened 15 years ago. I've kept every name. So everyone that's ever come in here and signed in for anything, whether it be a birthday party or a holiday event or any reason at all, we do always try to capture their name and address, and we've compiled this mailing list, and we mail to that list several times a year. And when the postcards do come back where the person has moved or something like that, we just take them off the list. But so long as that mail is getting delivered to their house, they'll stay on that list until we hear from them one way or the other. So, yeah, it's just a matter of pretty good commitment to compiling a mailing list of eligible potential students.
Wow. So, yeah, so if anyone's listening out there that hasn't been, you know, really diligent about keeping and getting lead information, you know, just think, in 15 years you could have 7,900. You'd have a lot to work with.
It's great because it costs you nothing to acquire those names. And there are people that live in your community that have seen your school, that have got an opportunity to meet you, maybe take a class. They're really, you know, someone that you can invest in terms of a mail piece. I'd rather spend 50 cents or a dollar mailing to that person than spend 2 cents to do a blanket mailing to everybody in the area, you know, that's maybe too old, may not know who I am, maybe too young, maybe, you know, just not interested. So it's a very, very cost-effective way to do direct mail. And what's great is it's you can regenerate it. You know, I'm able to print these labels for the cost of the labels three or four or five times a year. And if you've ever bought a mailing list, we all know it's very expensive, and then you usually get one use out of it, and then you have to rebuy it. In addition to that, if you you don't necessarily know that they're as qualified as the leads that have been through your front door. So,
right, that would be very true, I think.
Yeah, it's good policy, I think.
So now, did you say you do the mail out three to five times a year, or are you taking are you taking certain people? Yes, three to five times. I'm sorry.
We do the whole list, probably three, four, five times a year. Yeah. Now, could we divide it off to people that have attended birthday parties? Yes. Could we divide it off of people that have attended other events, trial lists? Yes. I have a separate list of. Small businesses that we do more frequently because the list is smaller, and I feel like that's okay to mail more frequently because it's not to a home, so someone else, you know, someone other than, it won't necessarily always be the same person opening the mail, and then their employee turnover is a factor, and their own personal customer base is a factor. For instance, if I send a direct mail piece to a nail salon, you know, usually there's going to be 8 or 10 employees there. Those employees might know people that they talk to that are regulars, and then there might be, you know, one or two people that are involved in management or ownership. So it's a lot different than sending it to a home. So I'll send to small businesses more frequently than I do to a home, but nonetheless, we're really diligent about doing direct mail. We probably average 300 to 500 pieces a week as a minimum.
Now, do you mix it up? Do you do a combination of postcards and maybe the next time you do a direct mail letter, or what's your weapon of choice?
The last few years, it's just been postcards. I have experimented with letters and, you know, different creative medium, but, you know, we've done discs as well. We've made some compact discs. We had them there, that, but cost effective. I think the postcard, you know, beats them all when you're doing this volume. You know, it's one thing if I was doing 1,000, you know, it's a lot different to do 8,000. So, you know, the cost do multiply quite a bit. So we have the cost of a postcard stamp, and we found a way to really purchase the paper very inexpensively, as well as the ink and the printers, and we're able to put out a very, very inexpensive direct mail piece. Since I do the design myself, I'm pretty literate in Photoshop. We handle everything from A to Z, but there are a lot of great companies out there now that can do a postcard for you. The only thing that I don't like about a postcard that's produced, you know, from a print shop or from an ad agency is sometimes it looks that way. And ours definitely look a little bit more homegrown, which I think appeals more to the human side of people. You know, I don't want to just be another number or another mailbox. You know, I think the fact that ours are labeled by hand and stamped by hand, you know, and the people that are in the pictures are my actual family, that are actual students, it's a little different than, you know, a mass-produced postcard that, you know, just has my logo on it, and it, you know, and any number of 1,000 schools could be using that same ad. So that's my personal philosophy. So we do it in-house, and we do it old-school way, and it's working pretty good.
Okay, well, great. The next thing I was going to ask is, what's your most effective direct mail offer so far? Do you mix it up, or do you keep everything the same? So, sorry, that was two questions.
Well, okay, we have recently, for this cycle of direct mail, we're doing a combo ad of karate and kickboxing. So we've got a photo of my wife and in on one side of the ad, and then a photo of my children on the other side doing karate. And we're doing a free week of karate or kickboxing and a free private lesson. and then a little blurb about the school, and of course our telephone number and address and all that. In the past, we've done another very effective headline has been a free trial class, and then a coupon on that postcard for a Quick Start program, which is $99 of lessons, including a uniform. Neither one of them is so extraordinary that someone is going to drop everything and call me, because I feel as if the offer is too generous that you tend to attract people that are not necessarily qualified for your school. You know, I've been experimenting with direct mail for, I don't know how many years now, 10 years. And, you know, we were one of these schools that got lured into doing a free month, you know, as an offer. And you just got, you know, people that had no intention whatsoever of becoming members. You know, let's say you've got a family that is lower income and, you know, they see an ad for a free month of karate for their kid. Well, they know, you know, unfortunately, that they can't afford to buy that. So they'll sign their kid up for the free month, and you've got a little project on your hands. It's stressful for the staff. It's stressful for the students because, you know, that new student that's just there in a month isn't necessarily going to blend very well. So, you know, I've gotten away from trying to make extraordinary offers. I mean, I recently saw an ad from one of my competitors. It floored me. 3 months of lessons. 3 months of lessons for $99. I'm like, I don't want to teach somebody for 3 months for $99. I mean, I'll go get a job. I'll get another job, you know. Like, that's a little out there. It just seems desperate. So we try to use the ads to appeal more to people that are looking for the benefits of the martial arts rather than an inexpensive after-school program or an inexpensive alternative to, you know, a gym. You know, we're definitely sure. Using it as a tool. You know, the verbiage we're using it as a tool to hand select our students into people that are really genuinely interested in a program. You know, such as ours, a lifestyle program. You know, something that is going to have a long term beneficial impact on their lives. So, could I have more people responding to my ad if I gave away a free month and a free uniform? Yeah, probably, but. You know, there's a trade-off. You know, do you want to have all these people in your school with a certain percentage of them, you know, having no intention of joining or not having the means to join once they've gotten through that free month? You know, the reality is, even though martial arts is a great value, there is a certain amount of cost associated with it, and some people just are not able to budget. So, you know, we're careful not to give away too much.
Well, that makes perfect sense, and you know, you definitely want to attract the kind of students that you want,
right?
Not the kind that you go, oh no.
yeah, like what have I done?
Like what have I done? What have I done this time?
Well,
if you don't mind, I'd love to open up the floor for questions first on the web, and then on the phone lines. So, if anybody's on the web listening, well, I know you are because I can see you. If you would type in any questions that you may have, and if you're on the phone, we'll get to you very soon. Right now, we do have one question from Dave from Ohio that's posted, and he wants to know, what do you give everyone that did not win the raffle? Do they get a free month, and how do you get them into class?
Okay. Well, once we have sorted out all the raffle tickets and taken out all the Bendovers and the Bruce Lees and, you know, all the funny ones that occasionally slip in there, we then take out all the duplicates. Then we go ahead and select our winners. After we've selected all of our winners, then we'll very often pick another group of people that we'll offer free month to. So the 6 month and the 3 month and the dozen or so 1 month trials will be selected randomly. After that, we'll go ahead and say, okay, you know, let's go ahead and give Mrs. Jones an opportunity for a free month. But we're not going to give Mrs. Smith an opportunity. Why? Because she had entered last time one and already taken advantage of this type of thing. Or, you know, this particular family is already having trouble making their monthly tuition. You know, we don't want to burden them further. You know, so we'll go through and probably hand select another dozen or so people for a free month. And then everybody goes into the database for our mailing. hope that answers the question.
I think so. If not, he'll type some more in just a moment.
There you go. Okay.
Teresa from New York says hi, and she wants to know if you welcome guests to come in and see how your school runs, and do you have events at your school for other school owners to learn your systems? How can she get there and see your school?
Okay, first of all, we're very happy to have guests come to the school and observe us. It really helps us stay sharp, and it's an honor and a privilege. So simply call and let us know when you'll be here, and we won't beat the kids that day. What's that?
I said, darn it.
We'll be on our best behavior that day. Any time is fine, and they just call us. If they would just be so kind as to call us, let us know when they've come in, that'd be fine. And as far as events, we've done the Mastery Weekends very successfully. I think we've done about a dozen of them. We don't have one on the calendar for 2008, but I'm sure in 2009 we'll do another one. And that's a two-and-a-half-day workshop where we take a lot of classes. We do a lot of business seminars and go over, spend a lot of time on marketing, curriculum. We try to cover A to Z on what we've done to grow our school. And I can tell you, I still get flowers and gifts from people that have been to the Mastery Weekends thanking me for the change in their own income in school performance, because we open up to you. We show you everything that we've done, all the mistakes that we've made, and all the things we've done right, so that you can go home and copy us. They say the student always learns faster than the teacher, and that's, our goal is, hey, we've already made all these mistakes. Don't make them again. Let me help fast track you to being successful. And regardless of style, we've had people come in with very traditional styles, very eclectic styles, you name it. And from jiu-jitsu to karate to taekwondo, hapkido, muay thai, regardless of style, they've all benefited. The Mastery Weekends have been very, very successful. So if there's anyone interested in finding out more, they're welcome to call me or write me.
Could you give us your website so then if people do want to say, I'd love to drop by, at this particular day and time, that they can have easy access?
Yeah, how about I just give you my email? Does that work? Okay, it's MasterSteve63. So MasterSteve63@fbcglobal.net. And that's it. You can just write me directly.
Great. That's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and see if anybody on the telephone has a question.
Okay.
Okay, you guys are unmuted. Does anybody have a question?
Yeah, Master Steve, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on. Still on speaker. Sorry. It's Joel from New Jersey. How are you?
Hi, sir. Good, sir.
Good. All right. Now, on the when you do the parties, which is a great concept, and you do $20 for a student, and then it's $10 for if they bring a non-member guest, is that $10 each, or does the non-member guest come for free?
$10 each.
$10 each. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's it. Thank you.
There you go. Easy one.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a question? Oh, Donna does. Sorry. On the web, when someone is doing no strings free memberships, do you try to enroll or upgrade them during that time, or do you wait till the end?
The 6 months and the 3 months, we don't do any upgrade, any plea for an upgrade at that point. As far as the 1 month, yes, we'll tell them we can either double that 1 month membership and they can do a quick start, or we'll add an extra free month to any other program that they choose. So, for instance, in our school, if you do a 9 month program on your first day when you come in for your introductory lesson, you would get your first month free. If you did 12 months, you would get 2 months free. With the 1 month winners, we'll offer them 2 months free with a 9 month and 3 months free with a 12 month. Now, just to clarify, if you were to do a 9 month program here, as I said, you would do a free month first. That's 1 month free, pay for 9 more months. On the 12 months, it's 2 months free, then pay for 12 more months. So it's either 10 or 14 months. So we're not deducting that from the program payments. So if they were to do a 9 month and they had won that free month, we might make them an offer for 2 months free and then 9 payments, or 3 months free and then 12 payments. So we're really, kind of writing off that first month but still getting the same contract amount that we would get regardless. And it also depends on how the introductory lesson goes. If, you know, if I'm doing a lesson with someone who's won a free month and it's a really good lesson and things are very positive and the person is giving me hints like, oh, I've always wanted to do this and, you know, I've been putting it off and I really need to get in shape and my goal is to drop 20 pounds in the next, you know, 3 months and I want to be, you know, when we go on vacation or when my daughter gets married, I want to look like this or that, then of course I'm going to offer them a longer term program. But if if they're more reserved and they're just like, you know, testing the waters, I might be less likely to try to upgrade them and offer them more because, as I said, I honestly do that in any introductory lesson. I don't want to sell you anything that you don't want. You know, I'm very careful. If someone comes in and the signals are not really positive for any number of reasons, there's times I don't even offer anything beyond the month trial to make sure that they don't ever feel as though they were coerced or, you know, talked into something. So you just have to be careful, with that. But certainly when there's positive signals, then why not give them an opportunity to save some more money?
Right, absolutely. Now, when that 1 month is over, are you still not approaching them? Or are you at near the end of the month
saying? No, absolutely, their approach, yeah. They're called once a week to make sure they're happy and everything is going well. And then on the third week, they'll get a notice on their card, their attendance card. So we use a manual system. They'll get a little post-it. You know, we're so happy that you've been so successful in the last 3 weeks, and we hope you're enjoying your program, and it's time to talk about renewing and getting on to another program. So they'll get a notice, and then they'll get a pleasant phone call home to say, you know, that that it is time to talk about getting registered and becoming a permanent member.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I just wanted to clarify that because that's, mm-hmm. That's important, I think, is to be checking in with people every week to make sure that they're happy and everything's
yes.
going well before they go any further, right? So.
Exactly, yeah, good point.
Okay, mm-hmm. James has a question. He would like to know if you can go over your programs. He said, I heard you say 9 months. Do you have upgrades onto, and if so, how much time are they? You sort of touched base on that maybe while he was typing, but could you go over that again just real quick?
Okay, as I said,
your programs.
Yeah, there's three ways to register. After the introductory lesson, they can do a one-month quick start program. It's $99. It's a month of lessons, three times a week if it's a child. If it's an adult, it's unlimited with our Thai boxing. Or they can do a nine-month program where the first month is free. So if you were to register today, you wouldn't pay us anything until December 20th, and then after that you would not have nine consecutive payments. Or if you do the year, your first payment wouldn't be due until January 20th, and then you'd have 12 consecutive payments after that. If you choose, on the first day, if you choose the Quick Start program, the one-month trial, at the end of the month, if you want to continue, you can't choose that again. It's a one-time offer. Then you'd be obligated, if you want to continue, to either do the 9- or the 12-month program. However, we won't offer you any free time. You're obligated to just 9 or 12 monthly payments. With no incentive. Obviously, we offer an incentive if they join the program on the first day, the 9- or 12-month program. And then as far as upgrades, Black Belt Club, Masters Club, that wouldn't occur till anywhere from 3 to 6 months into their program for those options.
You sound like you've done that before.
I slowed it down for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've done that a few times. I think we're up to 15,000 of those now, so getting pretty good.
I'm surprised you don't do that in your sleep.
I was teaching class the other day in my sleep. I'm not even kidding. I was running the school, and I wish it was running better. You know, I still had issues. So, yeah. It's like I took all my staff issues to bed with me. But I think that all of us karate guys have taught a few classes in our dreams.
Mark wants to know what your monthly is. So I'm not sure if he means your monthly. I believe he means your monthly tuition expense.
Yeah,
he says,
I would
what's
think
your
so.
Monthly?
Yeah, our basic program is $159, and our Black Belt Club is $169. So we're not on the high end at all. Black Belt Club comes with so many great benefits, but it is a 24-month upgrade. So you'd have to add 24 months to an existing program. So you're committed to, you know, quite a large sum of money if you do all the math. But just $159 to $169.
Okay, and that just answered James' other question. He wanted to know what your recommended time was for upgrades. the 3 years mm-hmm. seems like a lot of time, but you just said 24 months?
Yeah, 24 months is an upgrade on top of your existing program to go into Black Belt Club. So if you did a year with us when you signed up, you'd do another 24 months to get into Black Belt Club. Average time for a Black Belt is minimum 3 years, up to 5 years. And actually, it's minimum for 3 years for adults. Children is minimum 5 years.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and giving us quite a bit of things to think about. And just I think everybody could probably think about some of the things they might already be doing and say, ooh, that's an extra tip I need to sneak in there to improve my results. Or, I hadn't thought about doing it that way, so maybe I'll tweak things a little bit. So I really appreciate you spending your time with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you. And if anyone has any further questions or wants to come visit, please email me, and we'd love to meet you and share. You know, that's really how I grew my school, was the generosity of the people that I met, over the years that, they did open up and share their secrets and host me, as a guest in their school. So I certainly need to return the favor.